I'm sorry, my visual is not coming on. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. Who needs to see my mug? Okay. We'll just get started with the meeting. Thank you all for coming. I'd like to open up the April 8th meeting, regular meeting for the Planning Commission. It's now 7:07, and present, who's present here? Elena?
John Brandt here.
Thank you.
Pauline Thompson here.
Great.
Elena Hughes here. My mic.
Great.
Mine's not working either. Nancy Costa here.
All right. Thank you, everyone. That's great. We're all here. Perfect. The first thing on the agenda is to approve the agenda. I do have one change that I got a message from Lee Nellis that he will join us when we're talking about our June 15th meeting briefly to basically see what we would like him to help with at that meeting. So if you have any questions, he can answer it. And then he has seen the draft that we're going to go through. So we'll just see if he has any comments on that. So that will be right before our right before we discuss that. So can I have an approval for the agenda? A motion to approve the agenda?
Make a motion to approve the agenda, Ms. Elena.
I'll second that.
Go ahead. Shelley Price, good.
Any other discussion on that? Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Could I have approval for the agenda for tonight's meeting?
John Brandt, aye.
Pauline Thompson, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Shelley Price, Gibson, aye.
Great, thank you. The next thing on the agenda is to approve the minutes for the May 11th and May 22nd. The May 11th being our regular meeting, the May 22nd being our special meeting. Are there, can we do that? I guess one at a time. The May 11th meeting. Can I have a motion to move that, to approve?
Tina, this is Peg. I've got a couple of corrections. John sent me a spelling typo. I found another one while I was correcting that one. And in the first line, there was it said Elena and there was a blank. And I corrected that to say,
well, I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it had to do with approving the agenda. And I was going to say Elena wasn't here, but everyone approved basically. So I added that in as well.
All right.
In
May 11th.
Okay, so there's been a correction to the motion. Anything else?
I'll move to approve as corrected by the secretary.
Pauline Thompson, I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and second. Can I have a vote, please?
John Brandt, aye.
Pauline Thompson, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Ah, shoot. Am I there still? Oh, darn nabbit. Okay. Am I here? Can you hear me?
We can see you.
Oh, okay. All right. Now I can't see you, but let's see. Anyway. All right. Let's just go ahead.
Just for the next ones, I think we need your vote too at the beginning or the end of the.
Oh, Tina Carlson, aye. Yes. Okay, so regular meeting for the 11th has been approved. I need a motion to approve the special meeting on May 22nd.
Yeah, I make a motion to approve the minutes from the May 22nd special meeting. This is Elena Hughes.
I'll second that, Colleen Thompson.
Any discussion?
This is Peg again. There were also corrections. Nancy gave me some corrections that were entered, and I believe I sent that out to you as Rev 1. Anyway, that will be what gets corrected or approved. The Rev 1 version of the minutes of the 27th.
Okay, can I have an approval with motion to approve with amendments?
Pauline Thompson, aye.
John Brath, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Michelle Price-Gibson, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye. Thank you very much, everyone. That motion for the 22nd special meeting was passed. All right, the next thing on our agenda is the conceptual plans for the subdivision for the Sugarloaf Acres, unless we want to do the other one first. Am I saying that right? The Sugarloaf Acres, Donna Owens property parcel 02-005-0098, address 1795 South Lower Boulder Road. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we have a conditional plan that was sent to us on our website. And this is a conceptual plan review in which there will be no decisions made, but the Planning Commission has a chance to discuss it and give any input for preparing this application to go on to a preliminary.
This one's a different one.
This is the Deer Ranch one that you've got. We can do this one first. Do you want
to? But we didn't. Did we?
It wasn't on the agenda.
It wasn't on the agenda.
Yes, it was. There was two.
Yes.
No.
There was both of them that I saw on the. Well, no, anyway.
Did you see one?
It's on the website. It wasn't sent to us. It's on the website.
They both should have been sent to you.
Yeah.
This one was.
I never got this one.
This one wasn't sent to us.
Yeah. None of us saw the Deer Creek.
Deer Ranch.
Okay, then you need to look at what it was presented on the website. Peg, can you bring that up, please?
What's your other one? We'll move that to second, and let's do the other one. Do you have a map of the other one?
12 pieces of each.
Okay, here's the Sugarloaf.
Then you want.
Okay, this one, yeah.
That's concept.
Okay, it's up on there.
This concept number two.
Okay, so this is the Sugarloaf Acres, Donna's subdivision of her property that I'm showing on the screen right now.
Concept two that she wants to start with.
Okay. This is probably the simpler one. It's a shave off of Donna's property.
Yeah.
And Donna, while you're standing up, just point out things on the.
Yeah, and if you just want to give them a brief overview.
Just point out things on the. Just point out as you're describing things, just point it out.
Sorry,
we can. Yeah, just
say Donna Owen.
Can you stand up and just point out and describe where people are located in space?
Okay, this is a 10 acre lot in the middle part of Lower Boulder Road. Our home's right here, and this is the first lot one. I'm sure, but it's 5 points something. This lot two, which will also have 5 kilometers. And look at the Lower Boulder Road hanging yard, which also has 1700 yard, which borders my property. My property goes all the way to the other side of the 1700 road. This is the approximate division of the irrigation pots and risers, which are lined from this side to the other side of that.
I'm sorry, but
you took off the map, so
keep going.
Do you want to describe what the plan is just to
I'll read you my concept plan. Yeah. Is her mind causing to suffer by our tank or is not even on the floor? Mike is not thinking too much. Two lots. Lot one will be on the south section.
Can you come up there and use that like
Did you hear any of that, Tina? Because Donna was on the microphone.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to, I don't know that what I missed, but go ahead, keep going.
No, go ahead.
Tina, just describe what you see on the map. Can you see your map just fine?
Yeah, I've seen it,
And this will describe it further. Lot one will be on the south section consisting of 5 acres. The dividing line will run east to west. It consists of pasture land, a green, a garden space, mature trees and dwellings. That's where my means. Lot two will be on the north section consisting of 5 acres. The dividing line will run east to west. It consists of pasture land and mature trees. Both lots will have a share of water rights to continue farming. Both lots do or will have access to border farm, instead of water, with us and electricity. And if they desire a lot, like their border farm instead of line runs directly right along the property. Access to both lots will be off the lower Boulder Road. As I should have said, for 1700, that's what you would Or lot, you know, I did put that up. Or lot you can't access off 1700 Road, as is shown, is on the energy lottery. We are envisioning selling to family ranchers and or family farmers, locals who are Boulder residents.
Okay. Does the commission have any questions for Donna?
Okay, so the only thing that I have to say is eventually you're going to show us power, sewer, and water. Roads.
Yeah, this basically. Is just the concept.
Yeah. And that's all I'm saying is just to make sure, you know, that's those are the three things. And I'm sure that you know that.
I actually asked April and showed her the map and asked if I needed to do any of those things. I asked about and all other, that kind of stuff. And it's not on this meeting.
Yeah. And then,
and
other. Yeah. So, yeah, it looks good.
That's on. Anyone? Okay, Donna, I've got a couple things. I took a quick look on Utah Parcels, which is not definitive, but I flagged several things that I think you need to make sure that your surveyor carefully researches and addresses. One is the status of the 1700 South. Is that's not on the town's Class C road list. So the question is, what's the status of that? It appears you had stated that 1700 South is on your, actually on your property. And it looks to me on Utah Parcels like the easement for the property to the further east is actually to the north.
When I bought the property, that road did not exist.
Okay.
And then they put, built.
Well, okay. I'm just saying these are questions that I think when we come to the final, make sure that your surveyor has carefully researched out any rights to that road. And it, like I say, there is a strip that looks like it's the easement to the property to the east of you, but it's to the north, so.
To the north, yes.
Yeah, it's to the north of where the actual, the track on the ground is.
Well, that is the line on the, when you're.
No, I'm saying your surveyor, well, on Utah Parcels, it shows a discrepancy. So your surveyor needs to make sure, so we don't run into all this when you try to do your preliminary approval.
Oh,
okay. Make sure your surveyor has researched 1700 North. Mm-hmm. It also appears that the north, your lot two actually doesn't touch Lower Boulder Road, that the Lower Boulder Road is on the property to the west. So once again, your surveyor needs to figure out where the property lines actually are on the ground relative to where people are driving, because there could be some discrepancies here that need to be resolved when you subdivide. So that's the caution to make sure, whichever surveyor you use, you make sure that those two questions are answered.
Oh, I will, because I know the history of having bought that land and what we were told and what we've gone through. And so I'm sure there won't be any problem, but I will make sure that they're aware of it. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we've found with another subdivision, some inadequate research on things like that by the surveyor can end up delaying the preliminary approval by months. So I'm calling to your attention is that when you look at Utah parcels, there are some discrepancies compared to your conceptual sketch. What's the truth? I think that's what the surveyor has to figure out, which is not, I think that's the main thing. But I think we really, as a planning commission, need to stop the historic Boulder practice of approving subdivisions where these questions of ownership of easements and rights of way are just kind of left up in the air because it comes back as a problem later. So I think make sure that whoever you're using as a surveyor addresses
it. I have my original survey too.
Okay.
Anyone else? Don, I would definitely check on the road because my understanding is that is a private road and therefore you will have to have some agreement with those using that road. So just so you know, that's great. All good information, totally within the our ordinances to divide that. So thank you for bringing it forward and letting us know that you are interested in doing that, and we'll help you get forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And so even though some people haven't seen the second one, it is kind of going to be, she's just choosing to divide it into two. So I think we've kind of historically known the biggest issue has always been the road issue. So
this is the Deer Ranch.
So Donna, if you want to just do a brief.
Okay, can you hear me now with this? Mm-hmm. All right. This is the.
I think you still need to go to the other microphone. Okay.
This is the other.
Donna, if you could come to that mic, I think it works better. Thank you.
This is the other parcel that is known as the Deer Ranch parcel. It is located from Lower Boulder and just north of where the other parcel is. You go down 1600 Road and it goes into our property. It consists of approximately 80 acres. We're planning on dividing it. I'm going to pull up my concept plan. Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay. Lot one will be the north section, consisting of 44 acres. The dividing line will run east to west. It consists of farmland, slick rock, and all the dwellings. Lot two will be on the south section, consisting of 36 acres. The dividing line will run east, and it will consist of farmland and slick rock. Both lots will have A-share waters to continue farming. Both lots will have either well rights or actual wells. Both lots have had successful perk tests recently and with approval from the state. Access to both lots will be on 1600 Road off the Lower Boulder Road as per existing easements. We are envisioning selling to local family ranches and their family farmers.
Okay, so I will make the comment of it will need a new road agreement with properties. As we discussed,
I wanted to ask during this meeting what you're all will be interested in seeing with that. Right now, I was told that's not part of the concept plan.
It's just like John suggested your other property that when you come to preliminary, that needs to be done.
Absolutely. So, thank you. So, are you still going with one entrance? Okay, I can see it now. Mm-hmm.
There's Lower Boulder down, and then
the yellow lines of the road, is that right?
Yes, and will you scroll that down again so we can see it? So it will end there.
Yeah, it doesn't have to go quite that far, but almost.
And just a side note, once you do a preliminary application, the property can't not be for sale.
Okay.
Just, well, I saw the for sale sign still up. So once you,
once you do an application, have the whole parcel on, and I would have to refer to Daniel Kennedy on that because we just do it.
It's just once that application comes in for a preliminary, then the property cannot be for sale.
Okay.
Because you're subdividing. And so it's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a state law, county ordinance?
It's in the ordinance.
Okay. Thank you.
April, just for clarification so that I know, that's like when the preliminary application comes in.
Right now it's fine. Okay. I mean, there's no application in. Yeah. So it's the application has come in. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so if they choose not to do a preliminary application, there's
then it's just fine. They keep okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions?
I will say, we did put in writing some concerns on the previous concept. The ones that involved the multiple lots no longer apply, but the concerns regarding 1600 South. That still needs to be resolved. Who owns what rights, where the right of way is, what kind of agreement is in place with the adjacent owners, as April said, that is going to have to be addressed in the preliminary subdivisions.
Okay, so I do have a quick question on that to clarify, because there are some existing easements and road conditions that previous planners have put on previous developers that were never enforced. I have gone back through the records back to 2002, 19 something. And I've gone through the agreements with the planners back with Gibson. And so I just am curious, you're not expecting us to resolve those issues where the planners in the town never forced.
We can't address past issues. We can only address what we're doing now.
Thank you.
And since you are changing the land, you're subdividing, that does knock off what's the existing agreement is now. So you're changing the property, so you need to come up to standards.
Yeah, so we can put together a brand new road agreement. It has nothing to do with previous. We don't have to go back and, clean anything up or tell you what was, because it's convoluted and a mess. And I can't possibly,
I would agree it's convoluted and a mess. The challenge is going to be getting something where there is no dispute with the adjacent property owners about the access across. If either you prove that you already have an existing right, or they sign off and say they don't object, either one will resolve the problem.
So this is more about access than road maintenance. It's both, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it will need to become up to street standards and
from our property on, right?
See, that would be a private driveway.
It depends
how you come to lots. You're right. You're right, people.
But there's other people using that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's already got four lots on it.
Our road only has one lot.
Yeah. Well, that.
No.
Across the street, right?
He's talking about all properties that adjoin Lower Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
It's only four or less lots. And so there's already other lots accessing.
Open Country needs to address their lots because they have five lots, not us. Is that right?
Well, once again, this is going to be researched carefully. And as a planning commission, all we can do is support the ordinances as they are written and as they apply to your specific situation. But certainly the lack of a clear agreement on 1600 is causing a problem.
I just would like to add that we've been working on coming up with a road agreement. We haven't actually presented this one. I feel like what I would like to know regarding, because it seems to be this winning thing, if there's an agreement made with the existing owners, anything previous doesn't exist. So all of the, whether it's, I'm saying the requirements of Open Country to have what had to have already done and have not been enforced by the town shouldn't really be imposed upon us, as far as I'm concerned, but I don't know how you feel about that.
We can only address what is right now, and so not what's previously been done.
Right now, there's four parcels of someone else's property that we...
But that was done, the subdivision for that was done probably before these new ordinances were put in. And so that was already done, and that's been accepted in the past. And so now we have new ordinances, and so you must... Now that you're doing your subdivision now, you must meet the current ordinances. And
sure. We only have one lot we're dividing into two.
It's still subdivision, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So that still needs to be addressed.
And it's still being accessed from 1600 South. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Donna, on the Utah parcel map, it shows access from 1500 South. Does that actually exist? I don't know that it actually exists as Oregon Road. There is another road that goes back by, I'm not sure if that's 615, but it goes by the Barsh's property. And there's a cutaway, and you can tell it's been used before, but it's not a developed road.
Yeah, I'm not sure whose property that is at this. We don't have. It's Barsh. Barsh is still there. North of Florida, yeah.
Interesting. That's interesting. I can look into that. Thank you.
Yeah, you can see it on the website.
All right. Any other questions?
Well, once again, I will emphasize when as part of any preliminary application plat, those issues need to be addressed and resolved, whichever way it takes to get it resolved.
Right, I agree with you. I think the only problem is what resolved means to each person here.
Well, you're, can I just butt in here? I can't see anyone, so it's a little odd, but what I would say at this point is that you're more than welcome to come back to us and ask us or talk to, basically, I would actually go to April 1st and say, if this agreement is, you know, is this type of agreement going to work? You don't have to put any discussion. You do have to have a discussion with the people along the road. I think that's basically what you need to do, to say, we're going to divide it into two. If anybody who takes on one or the other parcels will have to, again, go back to the other people that are using the road to include that change also. So changes along this road, changes along any road, need to have some kind of agreement about the maintenance or the how people are going to divide the use of the road, or to maintain the use of the road, so that there's an agreement that is agreed by all, and the signatures of everybody, they all agree that they would be happy with this. I'm sure you'll get less of a pushback if it's 2 versus 14. You know, that's I guess that's my opinion. But anyway, some kind of agreement with your neighbors needs to happen for the road use, because your road use is an easement through a, you know, the road that goes off of something that the town has at least something to say about as far as helping to maintain.
We almost approached our neighbors previous to this meeting, and then I was assured that it wasn't something we had to do right now. And I really wanted to come before you all and find out exactly what they're looking for, because it's been very confusing before we draft anything. But we have every intention of going before our neighbors and hopefully coming up with something that's really a win-win for them, for the maintenance, and for ourselves.
Well, I think in the previous concepts you have, they have always stated that you needed that road, the street agreement, in previous concept plans for this property. So
there were so many people possibly using it.
any change to land of subdivision, there needs to be
an agreement.
And that was noted, I think, the three times you guys have come here with your concept plans.
All right, any other questions?
All
right, thank you, Donna. Okay, so can I ask to be, is Lee Nellis on?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. The next item on our agenda is our discussion of organizing and getting our update on the Attainable Housing Forum together. And I think that Nancy did a very nice job of formatting this, so I'm going to go through the format that she gave us, and I think that will help greatly. Lee has also seen this, and he is here to maybe even comment on what we're presenting and give his input, but I think mostly also he's very willing to talk to us at the beginning of this discussion on what we want to what he might be able to do for us before the meeting or help with any answering of questions that the Planning Commission members might have. So Lee, if you'd like to go ahead, is that kind of what you were thinking?
Sure. Well, I think it's very simple that we've talked about many aspects of all this. And from my perspective, I'm at the point of needing to know what it is that you still need to know so that I can be of assistance. And, you know, each of the questions that are in your outline is a good question in terms of what might or might not be happening on the 15th. But, you know, I can put together a pro and con table about the different options that we've talked about. I can do other things that might be helpful to have at the meeting on the 15th. But I'm in the position right now of not knowing what it is that you guys want to know to continue the discussion. I think that you can certainly leave it pretty wide open for the members of the public who participate. But to the extent that you have some structure, it's going to help you be able, help all of us be able to move forward. So I guess all I'm saying is that if there is something that I can provide or can provide during the meeting on the 15th that will be helpful, I need to know what that is.
Thank you, Lee. You know, I think starting with the question that Tina and Nancy brought up, okay, the purpose of the meeting, I see this meeting very much as our chance to share with the community what we have learned through our work groups, which have taken place. But then after that, listen to the community and be available to address their concerns. Because I think one thing that's very important, anytime you propose change, people have to become comfortable with it or you're going to start getting opposition. So I think your idea of a pros and cons at a very high level of the major questions about incentives, about flexible development standards and so forth, and discuss and presenting what are the pros and cons would really be a big help in getting the community to focus at the high level of questions and acknowledging concerns and giving us a chance to learn from people and address them.
Great. Is there any other comments from the group? Any specifics?
Tina, this is Nancy.
Okay.
I have a question related to what John said. It seems to me that we've tossed around some ideas, and some of those I tried to summarize in the draft agenda, examples of the kinds of things that the Planning Commission might propose. It's not on this document. It's the other document, yeah. Appendix 2, which is further on in this page. And it seems to me that we as a Planning Commission might want to talk about those. Are they actually proposals we might want to make to the community of things we're thinking about, that, you know, we change the 5-acre minimum, we allow bonus density. I mean, we need what those things are that we may end up presenting to the community for the community to be able to react to them.
Is this it right here, Nancy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are just examples of the kinds of things we as a Planning Commission might propose. I don't know if we're going to be ready to propose them next week, but Lee, you could help with, you know, if these are reasonable suggestions, what are the pros and cons of each of these? And that would be something that could be presented to the community and then get their reactions to them.
Well, your list is very similar to my list. And so I think that it would be pretty easy to take the list pretty much as you have it and decide exactly how much detail. We can't go into very much detail, but we could certainly put up a list that has an advantages and disadvantages or pros and cons. Or maybe even more appropriately, you know, what are the questions about this particular idea?
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, this list is a perfectly fine list. Mine is minimally different. And so I guess I would propose, Peg, did you get an email from me that had an attachment not too long before the meeting?
No.
No? Okay. I thought I sent that, but it might not have appeared. I set up a format, a pro and con format sheet that could easily be, if somebody there was able to get it, you know, enlarged or do over a big one, to get one large enough, but it can certainly be turned into PowerPoint slides. And that's something I can provide. And if that would be, you know, I think that there's this interesting fine line between asking the community their opinion and presenting something to them, right? You don't have to, if you can compose it correctly, don't have to say, hey, this is our proposal. You can just say, look, here are some ideas we've been kicking around, a laundry list, again, in the form pretty much that it is here. This is a laundry list. This is how we see it. As far as defining the different pieces on the laundry list, some of them are fairly obvious and others are not quite so obvious. But I think it would be okay to have a list of pros and cons, advantages and disadvantages, however you want to pose, however you want to present that. And go through that with people, because what I fear and what my experience tells me is apt to happen is that the discussion can take off into multiple directions that probably include some or all of these ideas, but is not very organized and doesn't end up providing the Planning Commission with very helpful information once you evaluate what you've heard. Whereas if we had a list, I don't think you have people vote on it necessarily. I guess that could be done. I'm not sure that's the best way to do it. But if you have a list, then you at least have some organization of people's thoughts. And even if the conversation goes a little bit astray, you can refer back to the list and say, okay, let's get back to, you know, item 2 or item 6 or whatever it is, and see if there are additional questions. I think from a definitional point of view, the definitions, you know, the explanation of how these things work gets to be more or less lengthy. And if there really are serious definitional questions, it's probably better to just handle that as part of the flow of the discussion. But to give people these bullet points and say, okay, what do you think about this? The difference that between my list and the list that you guys have here is that I've separated out, made it a point to separate out providing incentives for housing versus providing incentives for open space, which I guess is implicit in this list too, so that you can separate those two ideas for people. And then as you go on down this list, the thing that I would, thing that I don't have on my list yet is the multifamily units, which is easy to add. But if a big list like that, that could be put in the form of PowerPoint slides, would be helpful, I'll do it. Then you guys can put whatever context you want, whatever type of introduction you want to, in front of it. I can be there to answer definitional questions. But for the most part, I think I can let you guys take the public through the list and just see what people's reactions are. In the end, some people may have highly specific negative reactions. That's possible. You probably aren't going to get highly specific positive reactions because every landowner and every person is going to be thinking about this and how they might or might not be able to, you know, to make it in their interest to participate. And so you're much more likely to get definite specific negative comments than definite specific positive comments just because of the nature of what's being discussed. But hopefully you would have enough to say, hey, there isn't much public buzz one way or the other about, you know, a particular point. Or maybe on another point, you would say, well, there's still some big questions. And I think that would give direction much more than if you don't use a list of some type like this. Thoughts?
Great. That's really good information. Is there any more questions for Lee on this? I think that I kind of see this being decided between us as we go through this list, and with the thought that Lee can help us with, you know, any kind of pros and cons or help in definitions going through this. But how do people feel about the idea of going through this and deciding exactly the areas that we're going to present to the public as a list of options? And I think that's what we should really be presenting it as a list of options. These are things that we could do as a community to create the possibility for more attainable housing, more the ability to protect, you know, the agricultural economy and the possibility of more types of agricultural economy by dividing our land differently and see what kind of reaction we get. Does that make sense to people?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think maybe if we wanted to do it like it's written on the agenda where we do a flip chart and there's someone at each one, should we maybe pick what those five things are, since there are five of us, or if everyone's coming, including Nancy, we can maybe do six?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think we need to go through the outline and just kind of agree how that would actually happen. I have a couple more ideas about doing that more on a, you know, raise your hand or that kind of thing tally, with depending on how big the group is actually. So, yeah.
Gina, if you don't mind a little bit off topic, I got a text from someone too, Peg, that people are having a hard time getting in. I don't know if we know what to do about that, but...
I don't know how to tell them to go to the website. It's been corrected on the web.
Okay.
Can you send out a paperwork? I cannot send out a paperwork.
Okay, sorry, thanks.
So I also looked at this agenda that you put together, and I liked it. I think as far as if you could just kind of walk us through how you see the meeting going, Nancy. I mean, I assume that you've seen one like this, or like you were saying, the flip charts, and like I read all of that, but can you be just maybe explain how you see the meeting coming with this agenda a little bit? Is that
sure? I'd be happy to. This is so in the past, doing a lot of meetings with complicated topics and a lot of people, this was a way to get more engagement from the community, to have the presentations up front. If we choose six of these that we decide are the ones we are likely to pursue, then we do a pretty high level, you know, this is what they are. So Lee, if you were thinking of a PowerPoint, it would be pretty quick in a 15-minute period or so, just say, you know, these are the options that we're considering. Write each of these options on a flip chart that would be posted around the room, and have
a good size.
Yeah, good size flip chart.
Yeah.
Have a planning commissioner stand near it, be able to answer questions and capture comments, concerns, expressions of support, and put that on the flip chart. So we end up with some documentation that says, this is, we're talking about multifamily units. This is what the community thinks about that. These are the reactions we've had. And people could know
for make it. So on that flip chart, they had to make a positive comment up to go along with their negative comment so that they had, you know,
yeah, because I mean, seriously, this is kind of what we've come down to. So before can you give us something positive? Do you know what I'm saying? As far as, you know, sometimes it's so negative.
I know what you're saying, but I'm just
maybe not
the actual results.
And the docs thing, I mean, this is sort of Tina, your hand raising, but you give people, you know, dots, sticky dots, and they can then put the dots on the ones they really like. If you find one of these options, let's say it's the multifamily unit that has 50 dots on it.
Okay, so that's what, okay, I see. So that's what the 7 to 745 one is. Right.
And people move from flip chart to flip chart, so they get the opportunity to.
And maybe we give out the dots at the beginning. Maybe we have people go around and learn more information, and then at the end they get their dots.
That's a good
once
point.
They're informed, yes. And then they place their dots on what they like, you know, versus maybe their initial impression.
Exactly.
That's better.
So different colored dots.
Maybe the dots get distributed in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's like right. That you get more dots. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. Lee, I know that you're at nine, 10 hours. So do you have anything you want to be a part of here before we go through this?
I have a couple of comments on the list before you guys go through it.
Okay.
Peg, if you could slide back up to the top of the list, please, that would be helpful to me. Not all the way to the top, just to the top of the list of techniques. So on down. Keep going.
The 6:45 to 7 p.m. part?
Yeah, I think that must be what we're talking. Yeah, in the agenda here. Keep going. We're getting there. Okay, stop. Okay, now back there. Good. Okay, so yes. The first statement there is like a thematic thing that covers more than a couple of different techniques. But what is left out of the list, except kind of implicitly, down there where it's mixed with transfer development rights is the averaging lot sizes. And I think we need to separate transfer development rights, which is a complicated concept, from the averaging of lot sizes, which is a simple concept. So I'd break that into two bullets in my mind. And the first statement there, the change, the density, is kind of like the theme that all of these others depend on. And then if you could go down to the next piece of it, please, Peg, or whoever is manipulating this. Yeah, the housing types need to be in there. The RV thing can certainly be in there. The provide incentives to businesses is something that is awfully vague. And we already allow the way we change the commercial development standards, we already allow employee housing with any new business. And it would be very easy to clarify that it's allowed with existing businesses as well. I would probably take that one off there because what the incentives would be is so vague. And then I would probably also remove the performance standards versus zoning. And the public, you know, that can be a long explanation to the public that kind of gets them distracted from these other questions. And I think it's up to you all as the Planning Commission to decide what form you want to capture your policies in. So those are the changes I would make in this list. Otherwise, I think it's a great list and we can, you know, there would be one slide for each point in a PowerPoint positions or presentation. So yeah, that wouldn't take hardly 10 minutes probably to run through and get people started. You could follow it with some general questions and then do your flip chart activity for people and let them wonder about the good thing about the flip chart thing. If you space things out and let it happen, is that sometimes they'll start talking to each other as well as to you. And that can be extremely productive. If I'm standing there saying, boy, I don't know about this. And another person standing there says, well, I'm a landowner and I really like it. Having people interact and learn from each other in some ways is the most desirable possible thing that could happen. So I think the flip chart thing is an excellent thing. And then, you know, at some point you give them however many dots you decide to give them and let them, you know, they'll prioritize for you what in their minds at that moment is important. Some of these things are part of a package deal. And, you know, if they think one part of it's important, you're going to have the other. But I really think you've got a great idea about how to proceed here. And if you can go through this list with the changes that I've suggested, which is I really don't think the incentives to businesses we're ready to talk about. I'm not even sure what we would mean there. I think performance standards versus zoning is a technical thing, not a policy thing. And then go up and split out the transfer development rights from the averaging. Because the TDR, the actual transfers get to be, at least the paperwork gets to be quite complex. Whereas changing the ordinance to allow the averaging of lot sizes would take about 10 minutes. So if we could make those modifications to the list, and then Tina or somebody can communicate with me about, you know, what if you dropped something off the list or changed something quite a bit, communicate with me tomorrow, and then I will find time before the 15th to get, you know, well before the 15th, get a PowerPoint presentation together that can be used in the meeting. And I think it would be a great format.
Great. So that's great. There's in dots and not numbers, but the one that you were talking about as far as the flexibility of lots and the that's the one you were talking about splitting. Is that what you, yeah. The difference between, oh gosh, yeah, somebody else can help me on this.
Right. something and averaging lot sizes being another. It's the
this was kind of what was left over from all the others. I just lumped them. So yeah, that last bullet there on the slide.
I think that split would be good. One thing I would, as we talk about this, but I think it's something we should share with the community. I think there, in the federal EIS process, the mandatory alternative you have to study is no action. And I think we do need to present, when we're doing pros and cons, it's easy to be opposed to change, but then we should need to consider what are the pros and cons of not taking some of these actions. Mm-hmm. So that's something we need to put into the community discussion, I believe.
Well, you can certainly add that to the list very easily. You know, and I think the first one, the first item there on the list is really kind of more of a thematic or policy statement than that all the others support. So there's a little bit of a hierarchical thing to this, but my vision of this is there would be a slide for there'd be an introductory slide that covers what's in the first bullet point, and then there would be an individual slide for each of the other points, two slides for the final one there, and then going on to the next page. And then you could set up a flip chart that matched each slide. That gets you to more than five, but that's kind of inevitable because there's that much to talk about. And, you know, have people circulate and talk about them. And I think this gives the public something specific to react to. And you're going to find out, we will all find out what they think. And then it gives you the opportunity to say, hey, we asked, this is what you told us. We're steaming ahead to come up with the next step of details, the next layer of detail here. But this covers the ground without adding anything except what John proposed, which is that, you know, there's a no action status quo bullet here. And there may be some people who put their dot on that that flip chart. Just have to see. But if that's good with you, you guys can go through this list and see if there are any modifications, and somebody can let you know. And I can leave you to your discussion.
Great. Thanks so much, Lee.
All righty. Thank you all. Are there any other comments
before we let Lee go? No? Thanks. Thanks, Lee. Alrighty. Appreciate it.
All righty.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm thinking that maybe we should just go ahead and start at the top where the first question being, what is the intent, and just go through those and yay or nay on them. Yeah, we agree or we don't agree. How's that for starters? And if there's discussion,
no, up here.
At A, the very top of the attainable housing discussion. A.
Here? Yeah.
Okay, so the purpose, so do we all agree that every the committee work will be presented in some form, correct?
Yes.
And I've gone through, Colleen and I haven't had a chance to go through completely together, finish together, but we've talked about having and keeping it, you know, it'll be fairly short. I guess I'm thinking that the information can even be something that's in print that people can look at too. I mean, it could be a printed thing that people could actually have a chance to look at as well. I guess that's, anyway, but how do people feel about presentations? Elena, and I guess I'm talking Elena and John for feedback.
I feel good about that. It would be helpful to know, and I guess that's further down in the agenda, how much time we would each like to fill.
Yeah, there was kind of a breakdown on the time. So let's see.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, I feel, you know, we should make sure that we get the all three working group reports out on the web,
right,
as part of the meeting materials, and then basically for the meeting, just give an executive summary and say if you want the full details, you know, read the document, but just give the highlights. So.
And are we okay with it just being verbal, or would you like me to have slides? Just checking.
That's my opinion.
Okay.
I didn't hear the answer to that.
Said verbal.
Verbal's fine. Okay. And it looked like we had like a little less than 30 minutes. I think that's plenty of time for three.
Okay. And, yeah, I feel good about that.
And as far as those, I think, you know, the first four are really solidly good to solicit feedback. I think we really want to listen. I think identifying the next steps for the Planning Commission is really not a community meeting item. That comes back to us after we've gotten the feedback.
Yeah, and I don't think we need to discuss that at this point. Agreed. Okay, we're going to cross that out. Okay. Yeah, okay. So it's been agreed to accept the first, let's see, A, B, C, and D, I guess. Any other options that we want to discuss in the meeting specifically? Or consider? I guess what I want to do is just say, do we agree on A, B, C, and D as a commission?
Can I
have a motion?
Go ahead. A little more clarification on B, just in terms of, I mean, I'm fine to refine our community vision, but I wonder if this is the place for that. You know, that almost seems to me like we're going to work on the general plan or something like that, which is not what we're going to do. So I'd be curious.
The redefining of it. Yeah, I agree. I agree totally. That will be somewhat part. We had a group, the community vision group. I think anything that within that will be part. I mean, yeah, that's confusing to me too.
Yeah. I'd take that off. Again, this was just sort of a laundry list of possibilities. So I think A, C, and D are the critical ones.
Okay, yeah, great. Can I just have a motion on that so we're clear?
Sure. I make a motion. This is Elaine. I make a motion to focus our intent and purpose for the forum on A, C, and D of that list. So
A.
What?
Of A.
Of A. So to read them, to share the results of community work, to solicit more feedback on housing needs, to outline options the Planning Commission is considering.
Great. Okay, so on the outline of that one, we'll come back to, okay, because that will take a little more discussion too. So, can I have a second?
For a second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can I have a vote, please?
Elena Hughes, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Doug Rath, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye. Thank you so much, you guys. Okay, let's go down. What vision or other aids are we needing? I think that, I guess the question is, how much information can people actually absorb in one night? And I think, you know, written of the current codes, maybe we should skip that. Does anybody have an opinion on that?
Well, you have D there, which is Lee's PowerPoint. That's the only thing that I would leave. I mean,
right. Yeah. So the PowerPoints that Lee talked about will go with that.
Say them again, Nancy.
How about D, E, and F with background papers being the committee reports? And I think that article, Peg, that you sent around from High Country News.
Yeah, that was interesting.
The website. So just anything like that won't be handed out, but it'll be on the website.
Oh, so you're talking about it being on the website. I see that. Yeah. I thought you were talking about at the meeting.
Yeah, hopefully the attendees would take it.
And the flip chart thing is what we're talking about.
Oh, so the background papers and articles are also our reports.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So D, E, and F?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion that the information for the attendees would be items D, Lee's PowerPoint examples, which would include his pros and cons, the background papers, which would be the committee reports and any other articles that we want to include on the website, and then the flip charts that Nancy suggested.
Great. So when we talk flip charts, just because I'm in Salt Lake, I'm thinking, do I need to get any materials?
Yes.
All I remember is we have one flip chart. Is that correct?
I don't know if we have any easels, and I couldn't put my hands on a flip chart. Maybe you know where they are, but we used to have a bunch. But
well, I think they are. Could you check the closet where the chairs are? Because that's the last time I think I saw them.
Oh, I'll check that and let you know, but I would suggest you might. Same with the little sticky dots, if you want to do that
okay.
as well. If you're at a Best Buy or not the
okay.
Best Buy.
We'll get that together at the end of the meeting too. But how did the group feel about, like, I don't know how many people are going to show up for this thing, really. How do people feel about, instead of a flip chart, I have lots of construction paper in large form. How do they feel about, like, tacking that? Oh, I guess not.
You can buy a packet of flip charts that have a sticky strip across the top, so you can just stick them to the wall. You don't need an easel.
Yeah, that'd be best. Yeah.
Okay.
And it just makes it a lot easier to set them up, and they just come in a big pad.
They're like big post-its.
Right.
Okay, that answers my question then. Thank you very much for that. Okay, who will prepare the background materials? So I'm gonna get the flip charts and the dots.
Your papers are already on the web right now on June 15th. The reports from the three groups are already on the June 15th meeting, save the date thing on the website. So that stuff's there. And then Nancy, you mentioned that article that was High Country News. I'm not sure if I legally put a link to that on the website?
Yeah.
Not a reprint of the article itself, but yeah.
Yeah, no problem with links.
Okay. Yeah, that was just an interesting article, which is pretty applicable.
Yeah, which I've been given twice now from different people. So obviously people are interested in it. Let's see. Okay, so anything else, the background materials? I kind of would like to have people at the end here kind of, is anybody interested in helping out if Peg needs, if there's...
We've got a motion and Khalid wants a vote here.
We haven't voted on D, E, and F, correct?
Right, B, D, E, and F.
Okay, yeah. Can I have a motion?
Yeah. No, we did it.
I made a motion.
We seconded it and we need to vote.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Okay. Did you second?
Can I have a vote on the motion?
John Verth, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Elaine Hughes, aye. Shelly Price Gibson, aye.
Okay.
Tina Carlson, aye. Thank you very much. Okay. Sorry, I jumped ahead. Okay, we got the materials. I think we can... I'll kind of do a lead on that since I'm getting them here in Salt Lake. If anybody else thinks of something that they'd like me to pick up, I think I can just do that. Okay. I'm going to get
the right things on flip charts, Tina. If that, if we have to do that, once we decide on what the options are that we're going to put up on the 5 or 6 or 7 flip charts, I'm happy to help set that up.
Oh, great. Thanks, Nancy. Okay. The next thing is, do we need any discussion? We don't need any discussion on the planning commission or general plan, do we?
No.
No.
Okay. Okay, so this is questionnaire, which is a biggie. Do we want to put together a questionnaire of the points that we will be presenting?
I don't think so.
I don't either. I think you're going to see that on your flip charts.
Yeah.
Okay. So we will not do. Okay, great. Okay, good. Sorry, I'm just making red lines through things. So I'm. Okay. The next thing is format for the agenda. So Zoom, is that something we will definitely do? Can we definitely do, if we have it all in the meeting room, if it's too big of a group, that'll be sad. But what do you think, Peg?
I'm sort of assuming we're going to need the big community room. Like
for okay.
I mean, we've got the whole building.
Yeah.
Excluding the library.
If it's anything like the one at the school, I think we'll have a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll just figure we'll set up in the community room, correct?
Yeah. So there's a screen over there, so we can just bring a table over there and set up.
It might be too distracting though with all the noise, background noise.
I don't know. Definitely. I mean, Lee has to be on Zoom, so.
Oh right.
I'm sort of a both minds. Like, there's parts that would be Zoomable, and some of the discussion stuff would be really difficult to listen to. So I don't know.
I think we should just use Lee and Zoom, and
unless you want to do it. Forget the Zoom.
We do have a significant number of people who are out of town among the property owners. So I think having it available on Zoom is just a good courtesy.
Yeah,
that's true.
There may be a segment when people are milling around and doing their sticky notes dots. There'd be hubbub, and it'd be kind of, we might just mute. But I'll set up Zoom.
So you'll manage it?
If you want
to say I will that. Promise to get the right, you know, meeting idea.
So the people that are on Zoom, is it possible for them to just chat and make a say, I put a mark on blah, 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 blah?
Yeah, if we had someone separate monitoring the chat, that would be a whole separate sub.
Okay.
But I think that's a good idea. That would provide them a means of recording something. If they put stuff on chat, I mean, it is a file that gets saved and downloaded. So it's just like one of the recordings. So that would be valid information that they could use, but as long as people know how to use chat for that function.
I don't know if we like this idea or not, but I wonder if we might want to have like a different color dot for Zoom people, because they would likely be making their votes based on, you know, they won't be there to like interact and discuss and learn something from a planning commissioner. They'll kind of just be coming in with their.
Oh, you mean like real time, like someone to be reporting. Elena, there are now 3 new Zoom dots. Like
that, like, let's say I was like the little Zoom dot courier and I'm putting dots on.
Is that what you're talking about?
I guess I just mean like if I were looking at it, I would be curious to see. So I guess that's why I'm suggesting a different colored dot. I would be curious to see how many dots were from people in person and how many dots were from people on Zoom, because I do think it's different. I don't think they have as much information on Zoom.
Interesting.
Because they're not gonna be able to go around and talk to a commissioner. It's sort of like their impression from at home and our original PowerPoint. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They had like less of an experience there.
We can try that. It may or may not be useful when we try that to decode.
But the other part of that is their vote on Zoom doesn't necessarily have to be something that's addressed at the meeting. It could be addressed after the meeting. So whether their dot, how that communicate happens will be kind of separated in how we analyze what came in, correct? Unless you want the people that are on Zoom to be recognized by the people who are not on Zoom, I guess is the thing. Yeah. Anyway.
About this, I think it'll be chaotic to try to compile what's coming in on Zoom and comments, and you have to read comments and discern what they, you know, I think that would take like afterthought. We'd have to look at that afterwards, look at the file, the chat file, and then decide from there. And we can report that out to the public, but I think we may need to take some time with looking at it.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's not so much, you know, the number of dots or where they end up, but rather that in this process, we've identified where there are concerns, where there's confusion, so that as we move forward, we can be addressing those concerns. And if people don't really understand what we're talking about, it's up to us to explain it. So, you know, any feedback is welcome and will be helpful. And as far as Elena, it would be possible to run a breakout room format, you know, interactively while people are milling around, that the people on Zoom can run that as a breakout room and they can talk among themselves as well. So just, but I think the main thing is here again, just being open and sharing and listening.
And I think there'll be a fair amount of post-forum analysis, as you were just saying, which would integrate the chat with whatever is written on the flip charts. And my suggestion, this is only a week away, is to keep this as simple as possible. Yes. I mean, I think having Lee's presentations and the committee reports on Zoom, and then folks can watch the chaos in the room and they can, put comments in the chat. But otherwise, you're going to need one or two people just monitoring Zoom, which we don't want to take.
I agree with that.
In fact, I'm going to make a suggestion here, Nancy, since three of us have been involved with the working group reports and are going to be very busy with kind of communicating that. I think, could we rely on your experience running other meetings like this in bigger towns to be the MC of the...
I think Kina needs to decide whether she wants to do that, or I'm happy to play a role there, Kina, if it's helpful.
Thank you.
Are you going to be here physically, Kina, on next week? Or
I'm hoping to be. I will be in town.
You'll be walking.
Well, not walking. I will not be walking. I will be hopping, or I will be rolling in, let's say that. So can we go on here and then we'll go back to that? Is that okay? To that discussion as far as role playing in this whole thing? Okay, great. So I don't think there's anything, I guess a motion to agree that we'll have a Zoom option and that the community room will be used and the tally will happen with dots on our flipboards in the room. Whether or not and then we can decide as we set up the Zoom how we're going to help people, whether it's our ability for getting feedback from people on Zoom is an option. I guess that's kind of still up in the air. Is that correct? Whether we have a breakout room or not?
I think we decide, well, it's more complicated Zoom stuff that maybe isn't worth the effort.
Okay, so everybody who comes to the meeting will be able to do, will be tallied.
Right, and anyone who is on Zoom can put comments in chat. And those.
Okay, perfect. Can we call that a motion and move for a second? Is there any questions?
I'll second that.
Okay, are there any questions to that motion?
No.
Okay, great. Can I have a vote?
Then he's on.
Pauline Thompson, aye.
Dolly Parks, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye. Thank you. Okay.
What about food?
I think it's coming here, isn't it? Isn't that on here?
You skipped it.
Oh, I skipped it. Ah, sorry. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry about that. Again, I am up here.
You know, I'll be in Richfield on Monday. This is Peg.
Oh, okay.
If we decide to get something Mondays, don't load up more. You've got enough.
The
Okay. How do people feel about, I'll just say, the last time we did refreshments, we had a lot of people who volunteered to bring things. We also paid somebody to bring something, or we, meaning me. So was that, I mean, John, you were there. Elena was there. Jolly was there. Do you think that that was an appropriate addition to our meeting?
I mean, look, I think people always like cookies, but yeah. I also think it's like okay not to have them.
Yeah, something to drink, maybe. I don't know. I just feel like this meeting is a little more compact than we had the other meeting was. The other meeting was more of like, look at all the information we have here and, you know, I don't know.
I'm fine with refreshments, I'll say that. Yeah. I think it makes a difference. I think people come here. I do.
Yeah. Cookies.
I think there's just something very interesting about even just cookies. Something as simple as cookies and something in your hand to drink. Just water, you know, or juice or something.
Yeah, I think it helps set a much more informal tone. And that's the thing. This is not a legislative public hearing. This is a community information meeting, and it just helps keep it informal, even if it's very light refreshments.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great. Okay, so we'll plan on that. We'll plan on refreshments. Okay.
Why don't I just buy a pack of Walmart cookies, and we get a jug of water and some plastic cups.
Perfect.
Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. Well, do we need to have a vote on that? Is there anybody who disagrees with that? Please say.
Yeah, I'll make a motion for light refreshments consisting of cookies and a water jug.
Okay. And yeah, okay. We'll probably need some kind of cups or something.
I'll second that. We'll let Peg get those.
Yeah. I have a question quickly. When we did the cookies last time, did we end up taking that out of some sort of planning commission budget? Or Tina, did you just say that it sounded like from what you said, maybe you paid for those. Is that what happened?
Yes. That's what happened. I did not ask the town to be reimbursed.
Could we theoretically ask the town to be reimbursed if we did it again? Would the town pay for a cookie?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then my 2 cents would be that in the spirit of attainable housing, we support a local business and buy refreshments instead of getting them at Walmart. That would be my.
And are you going to ask Karen?
I could ask Karen, or we could choose other refreshments and ask someone else. I don't know what those would be, but I'm
Karen. Not sure if we can do the $5 cookie kind of, you know, I don't think we can afford that.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm suggesting a Walmart cookie bag.
Yeah.
We have a lot of new menos at Walmart.
I like the idea of the local thing, but I also think we really can't spend much.
And we do only have a week. That's why I'm saying I don't know.
That's my 2 cents. You don't all have to agree with
me. Yeah.
What did you say?
And we as Planning Commission people can bring whatever we want to.
Well, sure. And I think that we should just go ahead and go forward with that vote. And you're right. If anybody in the Planning Commission wants to bring something, they could add to it.
I just need to know if I am or I'm not getting something on Monday when I go.
We have a motion in a second.
Can we vote now?
Call the question.
Okay. All those in favor?
John, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Are you voting on the Walmart cookies or? Yeah. All right. Tina Carlson, I'll go for it. Okay. All right. So now we're on to
Five G.
Let's go down. So do we have so as John said, so there's the introduction.
that I've kind of started on off on.
Tina, are you going to talk about G first?
Yeah, let's do G. What steps will be taken post-forum?
Oh.
Maybe we can talk about that after the thing.
Yeah, I think
we've got to get to the options.
I think
we've got to get to that list.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get to the options. Because that includes the post you know, forum stuff. So we're all right. Okay, so are we all our options 1 through, well, I guess it's 7. I think I've counted 7 that we're talking about. Is that correct?
You're on the agenda, right, for the forum.
The agenda for the forum. Thank you. So the agenda for the forum, starting with a welcome, and then the committee reports, and then the question and answer clarification on finding participants and PC, from the findings of the participants and PC. Participants probably means the committee members. Is that correct?
When I wrote this, I meant, so this is the participants in the forum can ask for clarifications on the committee reports. Maybe that's not necessary. I mean, maybe, you know, more time should be given to the options discussion. So take that 10 minutes out.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. All right. So that will go. So then after the committee reports, then it's the presentation of the options that we have to present, right?
How many are there? Has anybody counted them? Nancy,
seven. There's seven.
Seven.
There's seven. We scratched out 8 and 9, is my understanding. And then there was one that we were going to split in 2, which I think was 5, correct?
Yeah.
Having it
transfer development rights and averaging would be 2 separate ones.
I can be on them. I was going to say, yeah, we should have you be on the ones. So that would be 6.
7.
And you know what? I kind of feel that the transferring of development rights is kind of a big thing to get your head around in the first go, but maybe I'm wrong.
I was going to say that we should get, April said she could take one, we could have,
and I can do TDR if you want to keep that on.
6 of us plus April is 7.
Okay.
So if we got just one of them even, which might be the one that you were talking about.
Okay. Okay. So we'll put April there on that one.
Only 7, because Lee suggested that the first one is kind of an overarching. These others will actually contribute to that, although in some ways, given we have a 5-acre ordinance, it may be important. So that does leave 8.
Yeah. We could potentially.
Well, I think he means it's because you're talking about changing of density of different like TDRs. That's kind of talking about changing the 5-acre interval. Just kind of, a redundant.
Yeah, there's some redundancy.
Yeah, and so I think that's what he meant by the first one.
But
like,
that's how.
But I guess there's no option that just, you know, suggests that the 5-acre minimum density changes to some other acreage. You know, like there are all these kind of more complicated things.
Right.
So, yes, so just for an overthought here is that right now we have 5-acre minimum in most of our large lots, in the large lots or large parcels, that we are actually looking at different ways of changing those options, that option, which we're not taking away necessarily, but we're changing hopefully to provide a better division of the land the way we want it to be. So that first one is what we have. Is that what people feel a bit. The 5 acres, and we want to do a more creative development process. And the following things are the things that we are the options going forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, and actually, in a way, you could take the first one there and restate it back the other way and say that's our no action option is five acre lots with rectangular shape, a 1-to-3 ratio. Yeah. If we take no action, that's what we have.
Yeah. Right. I like that.
I do think though, and maybe there's space in another one of the options, but I do think it would be interesting to just have the 5 acre conversation on one of the boards. We might find that a lot of people like the idea. Yeah, we might find that most people want no change. We might find that people want some other acreage, you know? I don't know. I like kind of keeping that one as just like a simple starting point and talking about what people would want the minimum to be, if not that.
You could make number four, provide flexibility in subdivision development somewhere in there with the 5 acre.
Yeah. What's that one getting at specifically? That's like the standards, the
development. Yeah, based on where your infrastructure is, based on, you know, I mean, as far as attainable housing, I think that's...
That kind of just... down below flexible lot shapes. So you might need to fine tune some of these things.
Yeah. You know, I think the key here is not to get down into the weeds at this point, but rather to keep it at a very high level. And actually I kind of grouped them in five a little differently. One is basically no action. What happens if we just make the procedural changes required by state law and leave the rest of our zoning and subdivision alone? Then we've got subdivision ordinance changes, yep, which involves lot shape, lot size, averaging, and all that. And then we also have a subgroup that's our development rules, things like our long-term RV parks, multifamily housing. So it's not changing the lots, but changing what you are allowed to do on the lots.
Right.
And then we have incentives. The bonus density for affordable housing, transfer of development rights, preservation of open space. So that's incentives for doing things that promote the general plan.
Oh, that's good.
And really then the last one comes down to preservation of agriculture and open space, which we really haven't talked a lot about, but certainly is impacted by all these other decisions.
That would be the fifth?
Yeah, that's kind of how I had grouped them was, so no action, subdivision changes, development rule changes, incentives for advancing the general plan and preserving agriculture and open space. And really that one probably could be, if we wanted to get down to four, that one just kind of disappears into incentives.
Yeah.
Because the general plan talks about preserving our agricultural heritage,
right?
But our ordinances don't facilitate doing it.
Yeah, I kind of like them lumped that way by theme. And then we could even have, like within a theme, we could do separate sheets, flip charts for the individual things so that people don't, you know, when they're making their votes of preferences and stuff, they don't have to feel like they're voting for transfer of development rights when really they like averaging lot size or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you could put those on the flip chart. These are sort of high level things. And then you could put bullets under these that were some of these examples.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that works well.
I like that. I do too.
I think keeping preservation of ag open space is a good one, just even though all of them should contribute to that. But I think there may be folks that want to talk specifically about that.
Yeah, I guess that one, I'm a little confused how that one fits in, meaning like it feels more like an overall goal, similar to attainable housing. You know what I mean? Like it seems like a goal rather than a potential solution, you know?
No, I think they're like a good example is what Tim just brought in about the corner property. He says they were willing to dedicate some property, but there's nothing set up in our ordinances. And so I think that's kind of
okay.
Kind of that idea. Was that
Okay.
And so like that, I think that's kind of the idea that
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things that tie into that. You know, one thing that's come up consistently is people have said we're not clear on what constitutes permanent protection of agricultural land. If you go through the very like Utah public lands with a third party conservation easement, you're talking 2 years and many thousands of dollars, but it's what you have to do to get IRS deductions. But there are simpler ways we could do it within the Boulder ordinances that preserve, that recognize that as protected land without so many burdens. You've got things that Lee's brought up about like the community land trusts, long-term land leases where somebody who owns the property leases it to somebody who wants to farm it.
Yeah.
So there's many ideas there that all are tied to preserving and promoting agriculture. And in some ways it distracts from housing, but in other ways the two are very much tied in because bad subdivisions harm both housing and agriculture. Bad subdivisions being ones that meet our ordinances but don't do good things for the land.
We do have a lot of things that we could say about that. Possibly, I don't know, John, there's nothing in your report with the large landowners that would cover some of the leasing issues?
As I'm dug into it, most of the cases, those things are already allowed simply because our ordinances do nothing to prohibit it. But in some cases, we can facilitate, make it easier and clearer.
Or encourage, yeah.
But things like, you know, a land trust leasing land to someone who wants to farm it, there's nothing in our ordinances that prohibit that.
No. I was thinking more of like the incentive to develop more with the package of having preserving deeding preserved land for agriculture or something like that, or open space, or deeding land for non-development, giving them more options for how they develop the rest of it, type of thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the big one with transferable of development rights, for example. Is somebody saying, I'm going to preserve this area as permanent agriculture, but then we allow them to build the housing somewhere else where infrastructure is in place, so forth. My fear is that so many of these things really have lots of, you know, when you get down in the weeds, it gets very complicated. And that's where I think keeping it at the high level.
Yeah, I agree.
Do we want to preserve agricultural land as open fields? That's the discussion first that the community has to have.
Open space.
Yeah, and then we can get down into the details of how to do it.
Could you read them one more time?
Okay, so one would be no action. Stay with our current zoning and subdivision rules. Second one is to focus on subdivision rule changes, which affects how we create lots. Third one is development rules, which affects what you do on lots that already exist or on new lots, but build, you know, RV parks, tiny houses,
multifamily
housing, duplexes, all those things are development rules. And then we have incentives. And I think maybe it would be clearer if we thought about incentives for housing and incentives for open space and agriculture. So it's really, incentives really is two things, housing and open space.
But it's still combined. Two things that,
you could make them two separate flip charts.
Yeah, because you might have these five main topics, but you're breaking them down even further to show examples of what
It really becomes,
could be potential.
Yeah, it really becomes four of them: no action, subdivisions, development rules, and incentives.
Yeah, and then you break it down further of examples so people have an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you have five, then each of you can do one, and then you have one incentive for housing and incentives for ag.
Yeah, but some of those, that's five topics, but some may require multiple. When you break it down,
yeah,
it
should
require,
be, well, they may have still be on bullets. The same chart.
No, but like, yeah. Say one, say talking about like the TDRs and then the average lot size, like that might, there's two separate sheets and one might have too many people there. So you can second person for the other sheet. So
yeah. So I think if we decide to go forward with these, we maybe should talk about like the subtopics so that we can just make sure we know how many charts we'll have. And
can I ask a question? So on these bullets that Lee was marching forward to create PowerPoints on these bullets, is that now not? He's not supposed to do that now?
No. We're just grouping them.
Okay.
Yeah. And we told him that we'll send him an updated, and then he'll go based on that.
Okay, if one of you guys will take responsibility for sending him what he's supposed to actually produce. And the bullets are,
let me take a stab at the
examples here. Of these categories.
Yeah, so the first one, the change of 5-acre minimum becomes basically reworded as the no action. Then we retain our current.
Which is do not change
the 5-acre minimum. Right. And number two.
Where do we discuss potentially changing the 5-acre?
That's number two.
That becomes the subdivision.
So that would be one of those. So
right. Yeah. So let's see. So the bonus density and incentives really is under incentives for housing. His next one, or I guess that's Nancy's, allow bonus density for increasing lots of close to existing infrastructure protection of agricultural is agricultural incentives.
Yep.
The next, can we go back there?
All right.
So housing, number two is incentives under housing, and number three is incentives under agriculture.
Right.
Right.
And then let's see, number four, provide flexibility, and that's the subdivision standards. Promote explore transfer of development rights. That would be basically subdivision, and it also parts of incentives.
And it would also be allow that, wouldn't it be this next one? Allow development of, would that be in our subdivision?
No, that's development rules.
Okay.
So that one is development rules. Okay.
Sorry, which one?
Conditional use permits for RVs would be development rules.
Yeah.
The incentives for businesses, we've taken that one out. And the last one we've taken out.
Where did we put? We put transfer of development rights under development rules, and as well as averaging lot sizes?
That's really subdivision changes. The transfer of development rights. And it also
comes under incentives. Right.
Okay, so that one's a little bit. Maybe we should do that one under incentives.
Okay, can we stick with like, I'm getting confused here, sorry. so far I have number two being under incentive for housing, which is a subdivision, under subdivisions, correct?
The high level was, was no action, subdivision rule changes.
Okay.
Rule changes and incentives for housing and open space for housing and agriculture.
Incentive for attainable housing? Or incentives?
Attainable housing,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is, in answer to Peg's question, we're not changing that list. We're grouping it into four logical categories.
Did we address the dark sky issue? How would that impact it? If there are big, kind of apartments or something
I think that
they'd have to have lighting on them, and
already have them.
I think that's an RV.
Yeah, we already have
lighting. Any development needs to meet that requirement.
Right.
Yeah.
Since you brought it up, there's an important point. When the state legislature 2 years ago changed the rules, they basically limited how what you could regulate on single family homes. But they left in that you can put in architectural standards if it's part of giving incentives for increased density. So if we give increased density, like allowing the fourplex, we have much more ability to require a dark sky than we would under if it was just a single family house.
Well, I don't. Yeah. Well. Okay. Right.
But I think that so I think we do have. Should I try to recopy it, or do you want to try to recopy what we just said?
Well, I'll have to listen to the recording to get it all, but I think I have the essence of what you're doing.
Yeah, because you want to give the new bullet list to Lee.
Yeah.
Well, Peg asked him.
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay.
Okay, wait. But I'm not going to vote on it because I'm confused. So
I have if it's helpful in my notes.
Well, how about someone send out what was proposed tonight, tomorrow, and
I'll send my notes to Peg too, and she can compile that in the minutes
and
then
whatever. Yeah, so send it to everyone, and they can make comments and
sure.
Say so bye.
Can I just get this first though? Under this subdivision, which numbers are under that subdivision? Under subdivision.
Now, I could just read you what I have right now if it's helpful.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
I have number one is no action.
Right.
Number two is subdivision rule changes. And under that, I have potential lower density, flexibility in development based on characteristics. That's the one about, that's the fourth list. Yep. The next one I have development rule changes. And under that, I have things like CUPs for RVs, family dwellings, tiny houses, et cetera. And then number four is incentives for housing. And under that, I have bonus density housing, which is the first of the bonus density ones, and then the TDRs. And then number five, I have incentive changes, open space, agriculture. And that's the other bonus density one, the second one there, the one about infrastructure and agricultural uses. Where did average lot sizes go into that? Would that be subdivision?
Subdivision.
And flexible lot shapes.
Right. Do we want to decide who would be doing each one? I would personally be happy to do the subdivision rule changes.
Okay. Can I first say, Elena, could you send your notes off to Dave Lee? Can we all agree that Elena's notes are good enough to send to Dave, or to Dave Lee, to Lee Nellis?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Any disagreement on that? Okay. So that would be great, Elena. Let's just say that. Okay. So you're interested in doing the subdivision?
Yes, I would love to.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else have a development or agricultural incentives?
I would like to do number two, which is no changes
for number one.
Number one?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. No number action. One. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, then I'll do development. I would like to do the development stand rules.
Okay. That's three. What's the fourth one?
Well, there's two under incentives, the housing and the open space. The one for show.
Oh, incentives is the next one. Okay.
That's why you're being so quiet about it. Well, Shelley's not going to be there. I'll do the preservation of open space.
Oh, yeah. Tina, can incentives? You do
incentives for housing.
You'll do incentives for open space, right? And then Tina, can you do incentives for housing?
Okay. I'm a little okay. Yes, incentives for housing. I have it on my list.
Yeah, I can help with the TDRs, average lot size, and flexible lot. I can help you.
Well, average lot size goes under.
Yeah. Well, the flexible lot shapes and TDRs.
So do we need to make a motion?
I think we've got consensus.
Yeah. Okay, so everything is covered, as far as I can tell, on our list. So what I would like to have happen is that Elena sends out her notes that she just described. And can you include that I'm on the housing incentives and whoever everybody else is on there?
Yeah.
To Peg, and then Peg will forward it to everyone. Does that sound?
So like I'll that send way? That to Lee and Peg can forward it. Does that work? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then you announce we'll put those on the flip charts. Each one of these.
And then Nancy and I will put the flip charts together.
For them, yeah.
That we'll be working with. What other right. stuff do we need, or are we not there yet?
Okay. Tina, one more thing that you might want to pick up is a big pack of Sharpies.
Oh yeah, with. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Do I need? Should I do colors?
Yeah, sure. Do colors. Sure. Yes.
Dark okay. color.
Okay.
Yeah. Dark. Yellow and orange. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so I'm getting flip charts and Sharpies.
And dots. Stickable flip charts. Self-stick. Whatever they are. Yeah.
At any office supply.
Yeah.
I have legs with me now. I have a friend coming. She can do all my leg work. It's perfect. Okay. Okay, then the wrap up of the meeting.
So,
next steps. I guess it says Tina maybe. So based on the feedback provided and ideas presented. That's another thing that we don't really have in this meeting is the opportunity for people to suggest out of the box ideas, but I guess.
We get a flip chart that says other on it.
Oh,
that would be one. Yeah. Yeah. Well, or maybe nobody would have to
or park miscellaneous it. Or just, parking
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, other could just be there.
Could be parking lot. Or nobody has to work it. It'll
yeah,
just
exactly.
Be,
that one's
yeah.
just there.
Yeah.
I think that would be good.
I like it. Another category.
Other category. Yeah.
Okay.
Choose your own adventure.
Out of the box idea. Okay. Okay, we'll do. So that means I'll just make sure I have at least...
Tina, I can help. I mean, if you want some help, I've done a bunch of facilitation. If you want some help with that sort of wrap-up.
Yeah, I would definitely. Maybe, can we just work together on how we can coordinate the facilitating of it?
Sure.
Is there any objections to that?
For the wrap-up of next steps, do you want to say that you guys are going to have something written up by the August meeting or something to, like, show?
We want everybody to do
that. August is, like, a month and a half. So.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as far as the next steps, this is where it's going to start getting really complicated.
Yeah.
Because some of these ordinance changes interact with other ordinance changes. The suggestion I would make very strongly is that before we try to write ordinance language, we look at what has worked and hasn't worked in other communities, because we're not the first place that's had to deal with any of these issues. There's a lot, and Lee can help us a lot in looking at good examples, so we could say, well, this is how another community is approaching it. Is that what we want to do? Or we say, no, that doesn't work for Boulder. We have to have that level of discussion. And then we could start talking about very specific ordinance language. This is probably all, you know, that's like a 3-month process to write an ordinance. They come up with the text, have our public hearing and get it.
I don't think we need to promise any complete ordinance.
My suggestion was just like a write-up of this is the outcome. This is
like almost the way like my report summarized the survey, since we're going to be getting like community feedback.
Yeah, and for maybe some people who weren't able to attend or anything, that they can figure out, you know.
I don't know. It's up to you. No, it's up to you guys.
I think it's the same thing where as far as we're not going to really know that until we get finished with the meeting, as far as that goes. So how we'll know how to wrap that up. Do you think after we have this meeting,
I think
it should be something kind of not small, but
concise.
Thank you.
But I think if it's just a concise review, we could
simple. It's what we have to do anyway, right? We have to review what we got. So we're already doing it. I don't think it would be
for the public to have data to,
to see. Yeah, that'd be fine.
I mean, since this is a public meeting, we have to come up with some minutes summarizing what we did. Yeah. So that would be our summary report would be compiled. And I think we should probably compile that at our next regular business meeting to say, okay, let's get this organized and summarize what we discussed, because we're certainly not going to have a verbatim transcript of the whole evening.
Yeah.
But we will have to have a minutes.
We'll type up the flip chart notes and summarize the essence of the conversation.
So, because then we'll be moving into the subject, creating the subject, right? With this new information, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the summarizing it, so the summary should include the process that we go through to continue forward, which will be, you know, coming up with the summary of this report on what happened at this meeting, what things seem to be the areas that we need to go through, the next thing probably would be after we decide which direction we're going to go with the information that we got is to come up with the changes that will then go through a hearing, which then will be passed on to town council, which will have a hearing. And then, you know, and I mean, just giving them the kind of the process that we already have. I mean, it's already there in our requirements. So that really is kind of the process going forward.
Hesitantly, I could volunteer to write up a recap of sorts of the meeting and summarize the flip charts, and then I could try to bring it to the July meeting, and then people can tell me if they have feedback for my feedback.
Great, that's great. I'm talking about how we will wrap up this meeting with the public.
Real time, right? I think I'm sorry. I was still on.
Elena.
But that's great. That's great, Elena. Good job. We can do that. That would be great. Or you could do that. That would be great. Or you could ask someone to help you go through it. You know, we can work two at a time. So that's perfect. But I'm just thinking of we're going to leave the wrap up is for when we
shut down.
I was just suggesting to Elena that it might be more helpful if each of us on each flip chart typed up the notes for those flip charts, because we will have heard the conversation around that topic. And then if Elena wants to compile them all, that's great. But it may be each of us should try to draft those notes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, but still, Tina, you want to figure out what we want to say for the wrap up at the 7:45 to 8:00 block. Is that correct?
I was actually talking about that, about giving the information of how this process moves forward. If anybody wants to.
Yeah,
Nancy said she'd help you with that.
Okay. Is there anything that comes to mind that the wrap-up should really include so that we can consider that in our putting it together?
Well, I think after 2 hours, the group may be ready to sort of be done.
Yeah.
So I don't think the wrap-up needs to be that robust.
Report,
I mean, once we get the report and then we have some idea of how to proceed, but
yeah.
You know, the wrap-up is more, thanks so much for your input. It's going to be useful to the Planning Commission to make decisions on ordinances. And so I don't think you have to go into a lot of detail about what the process will be henceforth.
And we can also remind people that the second Thursday of every month, they can come here and give us their input.
That's true. That is so true. I think that's definitely true. Okay. All right. So Nancy and I will work on that. I'll have Nancy work with me on the whole logistics of having. I really like the idea that we all have a part in this, and
I have two logistical questions. The first one was, this might have been obvious, but are little dot stickers on your list of things to get, Tina?
Yeah. Uh huh. Okay. Do we want more than one color?
And then
You know, you can make a dot with that marker that you have too.
Yeah, you could just Sharpie dot. And then in terms of setup, I feel like we might have talked about that briefly earlier, but what is needed of us for setup from this? And I guess perhaps we can't all be there because it's a quorum. Is that true?
Are you going to have separate tables? Are you going to have chairs? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, we can all be there if we're not talking policy. I mean, you okay. can physically be in the same room, but you just can't talk about that.
Okay. So we can be setting up for the forum, but we can't talk about the forum.
No, you can talk
you
about
can't
the forum.
Business you can't make business decisions.
You can't make any business decisions or... I think working together...
Okay, just checking.
And what? So the rules. Block in. We could even just start by working.
Let's not get complicated. Okay. The setup stuff, we will have hopefully more than.
Right. Yeah.
So, but what I am asking is are you going to have separate tables for each of these topics, or is it just going to be on the wall around
the room? On the walls, but we should. Have chairs and stuff.
Chairs for the opening presentation. So
you might want a table for, like, maybe you want to have a couple copies of your reports on the table. I don't know. No.
Is that me? I sort of feel like online. I don't know. I think that's one of those things where people take the paper and then I would hope not to waste the paper.
You may not want to decide it right here and now, but I'd say before you're in the room moving stuff around, have an idea of
what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there enough chairs in this building or do we need to borrow chairs from someplace?
We have plenty of chairs.
No, we have chairs. Yeah.
And we have plenty of tables too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we have tables. So we can all think about. I kind of saw the Planning Commission would be kind of, available to stand up and talk, obviously, kind of in a group for the beginning of it. And then when we break off into the different options for people to go and look at after the options will be talked about. How does that work? The options will, Lee's presentation is not in our.
Well, it's the 6:45 presentation overview of options. And now it's 35 actually, because we took.
Okay. Right. That's right. Okay. Great.
So as far as the room is concerned, the screen is on the north side. You have the media part, I assume, with. And another table to put the PC on. So there'd be a small table, at least, in that media cart facing the north wall where the screen is. So just think about that orientation when you're planning how to lay out everything else.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Sorry, I already knew that, but that's great. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't think of that specifically. Okay.
Did we decide what time we're all getting there for setup?
Yeah. I think no later than 5, but.
Time's the meeting at 6? 6. Yeah. Yeah, because last time I felt like we had some people show up early.
Right.
Okay, 5 o'clock works for me.
Okay. And then Nancy, we'll just work on what those getting the flip charts together and decide when we want to go in and do that too. Probably could be earlier if we wanted to.
When are you back, Gina?
Sorry?
When are you back in Boulder?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm back on Saturday, most likely. This coming Saturday. Okay, can we finish this? Let's see. Gosh, I'm trying to find my agenda here. Sorry.
Training.
Okay, the training. This was we were thinking that the there might be some suggestions of training starting as early as the July meeting. Was there any thought in that direction? Hello? Hello?
Billy, do you
want to go first? Well, I tried to get on the agenda twice and was not brought up. And then in the meeting, it surprised me that I was asked about it. So I'm just waiting to hear from what you want to do. Because I told you that I had an idea and I even had a presentation kind of thing to do, but I couldn't get on the agenda. So I don't know what you want from me. So what do you want to do about the training? We, John and I even said, you know, that we've got ideas for training and so on, and we've had examples, and John's even had suggestions to me on training examples, but I don't know. Like I said, I try to get on the agenda so I can give you ideas of where to go and what we might want to go, but I don't have my notes or anything ready, and I didn't the day you asked me.
I'm sorry, Shelley. Let's have this conversation again together, because I'm confused of what I have not done to allow you to be on the agenda. So let's just make sure that you're on the agenda next time, that in the way that you feel you can present what you want to present, okay?
But all it was about training. That's all it was. And you didn't put me on the agenda, and I let you know in time. So I'm just waiting to see what you guys want to do. That's all. It's not any problems or anything. I'm just waiting to see what you want.
What do you need from us?
I tried to get on the agenda twice in a timely manner because I found out you had to let me know in 10 days or something before it. So I made sure I put that request in, and I couldn't get on the agenda. And all I was going to do is, this is my research, and this is what I suggest in planning. What do you want?
And okay, so you're not prepared to do that tonight, correct?
Well, no, I didn't even know I was going to be on the agenda tonight. Nobody notified me of that.
Okay.
And the last time we talked as a group of what do you report, and I was surprised that I had a report on it. Because I couldn't get on the agenda to tell you what I was thinking. And I told you it was just about total training. That's all it was.
Perhaps we should put this off to July. I think as far as, you know, so
we're booked up enough, like he said, and I've got some medical things I've got to confront.
I'm sorry, Cheryl. Shelley, I'm sorry. Okay. I'll figure this out. I apologize. So let's go on to discussing checklists for the CUP application review. That was also on our, in the last meetings. John, do you have anything to discuss on that?
We and I have been in touch on that. I think we both decided that the housing issues are probably the priority for our time. But where I had left it was basically that Lee will clean up his application form document and checklist. He has some editing to do when he gets time to do, gets around to it. Like I say, right now he's giving priority to the housing. The one thing I encouraged him is to just, when we do any ordinance change, we make a little cleaner tie to the state law, which is basically saying that we impose conditions based on standards in the ordinance to mitigate identifiable impacts. And kind of like, you know, with the grouping here of subdivision and development standards and so forth, at a high level, the biggest impact we always are worried about here in Boulder is the visual appearance. So, you know, a lot of our standards really all come under identifying visual impacts. And then we have some secondary ones, noise, hazardous waste, and so forth. My comment to Lee was, let's make sure that we look at the state law when we fix our ordinance to make sure that we're very clear in how our ordinance is based on what's allowable for us to do under state law. So that's where we are. The housing is taking up most of the time.
Thank you. So I have chair reports now. Is there, April or, well, let me just start. First of all, the
staff report.
Your staff report, sorry. Staff reports, go ahead.
I just, in case nobody realizes this, on American Legal, and where you go to see the codified ordinances, on the left-hand navigation area, the meeting, Planning Commission meeting minutes from the last one from this year, I think is April, maybe February, but they go back now to 2018. So those are searchable minutes. Same as you search the ordinances, you can search minutes for topics. So give it a try. The town council is not on there at all yet. So it's just Planning Commission when it says meeting minutes.
That's pretty slick. Thanks, Peg.
Yeah, it's been a while to get there, but I think that's all I have.
And Billy, I did recently get,
I had one more thing. Tina, maybe you're getting to this one, but I just wanted to remind people that I will not be at the next the July Planning Commission meeting. And so you have the option of, we figure it out from there or change the date. So that's maybe up to you, Tina.
Okay.
And I will probably also not be at the July meeting.
Sorry. Okay.
And then I just got an email yesterday from Rachel Levinson, and she is interested in 6-week-long wellness retreats on her property. Per our temporary uses, it doesn't quite fit under those guidelines for what she's wanting. So I'm directing her towards a CUP application, but there's nothing really in our ordinance to address kind of wellness retreats.
You said six week long.
Yeah, throughout the year. So
the 1 week.
Is that a business?
Right? Yeah, it will be a business. And so I'm kind of figuring out, is that gonna also fall under the business CUP? Is it kind of going to be like a guest ranch CUP, or like we don't have...
You want my comment?
Yeah.
This is when we write ordinances with throwing in restrictions, this is what we cause ourselves problems with. I think let's see what she's proposing. And I think this may be a very much a situation like we had with Elena's driveway. that we realize our ordinances prohibit things that we really don't want to be prohibiting and have to fix it. So
let's. Yeah, there, I don't think there's really an ordinance prohibiting it. It's kind of just what we do CUP application, but then do I need to also look at the business CUP application? Like,
well, that's
what are our guidelines?
Yeah. This is what we cost ourselves.
But
let's see what she applies for and then we'll see.
I gave her a CUP application and then.
Do we know where those people would be staying?
She stated they'll be on her property. They will be bringing their RVs.
Ooh.
And to my knowledge, she does have septic that could be that they can utilize.
Where's her property?
Full Moon Ranch. I don't know. It's Lower Boulder.
The top lowest.
Second property.
Where the barn is right on the side of the road.
Is it under events?
Well,
it's saying max period of 120 days. And so that's like within 120 days, you can have an event not to exceed 40. So it's.
So maybe a temp.
I don't think it falls under temporary use, especially since it's a business now.
Is she going to keep doing it? Special events.
That 120 special days special thing, what, events. Where special are you shooting that from? Is that a, what? That's the allowed temporary uses.
Okay.
Under temporary uses, special, it would be special events.
When is she needing an answer?
I just sent her the CEP and I said that tonight was the meeting, so I was probably going to discuss.
Let me fill in a little bit more background here. Okay, so this was, Lee Nelson has sort of been also vaguely aware that this was coming and has offered to try to work with her to figure out how we can make what we need to do, because I think this is the sort of thing that if we back off and just put the ordinances aside, I don't think we have problems with what she's proposing. It's the fact that it doesn't fit our ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what the probably the best thing to do is let her formulate a proposal. Let Lee help her figure out how we might approach this. And then
so just do a general CP and then.
Well, let Lee now let's work with her to figure out what mm-hmm. Can I finish my sentence?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So let Lee now let's work with her to figure out what might make sense. And it may require us to consider an ordinance change, because I think we're going to find that what we have done is prohibited something that we really don't have a good reason to be prohibiting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a good case where he can help us as a planner say, this is what makes sense. Maybe we can find a way to do it in the existing ordinances. Maybe he can recommend an ordinance change that resolves the conflict without opening up other things we don't want. So. Yeah, would that be an acceptable approach to ask Lee to work with her?
Well, can I just say one thing on this that kind of hits me right away is that she's going to bring RVs down to her property to stay on her property in down Lower Boulder Road, and we have made a big deal about RV not allowing RV parks type things to happen off of that aren't linked to Highway 12. So there's a lot there that she would need to, her idea would need to have some.
All right. I think she said max was 8 people or couples.
Okay, so there's a limited number of people.
Yes.
Okay.
I think this would be a good case for Lee to work with her and then come back with something that's had his planning input as well as her expression of what makes sense. And I think as a planning commission, we at that point, we need to just be open to say, if we've prohibited something that we don't want to be prohibiting, then we need to propose to the town council fixing the ordinance. Because leave it at that for now, but thank you for bringing that up, Amy.
Yeah.
So.
We've got a camp, we've got a temporary camp, we've got lots of things.
It does say.
that's special events. This is going to be a year long week.
Oh,
eight, like she said, year long, well, six or.
Let me comment on something. We up to the north, we have BOSS. They do something very similar, and we're grandfathered, but we're all very happy about having BOSS as part of our community. We need to think about if we're prohibiting something, we have to have legitimate municipal reasons to want to be prohibiting it.
So, but I don't think anyone's have said we're prohibiting it. How do you want to go about this?
Compare them to BOSS.
Granted, this is a super quick glance at this. I obviously have not delved into this, but
I think we're talking over each other, guys.
Go ahead.
So looking at this, the temporary use deal allowed temporary uses, and then 153, 173 exemptions. Following gatherings should be exempted and shall not require a temporary use permit. Number two is all gatherings of under 20 people, so we could find out how many people it is. Number six is conducted on private property and not advertised for the general public, which it sounds like that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how she's advertising it.
I recommend we take up Lee Nellis's offer to work with her on this and not try to do this in an open meeting.
Yesterday,
it's kind of an unusual thing and we've never dealt with it.
Yeah. Wow. But those are my two cents.
Great. Can I just say that communication with April needs to be better in general? And when we're talking something that the zoning administrator is supposed to be the forefront person on getting the information, it should go to her. And, you know, if there's anything that comes up that we're approached with that requires our zoning administrator to be part of, we need to include her no matter what it is. She has to be part of the upfront information. So this is good that we did it here in this meeting a little bit, but let's try and get that communication going better. Does that make sense to folks?
Yeah, thanks.
Well, April brought it up and I think April should be involved in it. Yes.
Okay. All right. So the first thing we need to do is anybody, or I need to know if I can get a motion to change our meeting to July 11th, because Peg said she would be willing, or she could be at our meeting on July 11th. That would be Tuesday, the Tuesday before our regular meeting, which she cannot be at.
Yeah, I think that works for me.
Okay, can I have a motion?
Just a second, we're kind of looking.
Okay, great.
Our meeting would usually be on the 14th, but we're going to do it on the 11th.
It would usually be on the 13th.
It'll be on the 13th of July.
I think I'm okay.
Same thing, 7 p.m.
We have to, we have to let you know tonight.
I have to post that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
All right, this is Elaine. I'll make a motion to move our July meeting to July 11th at 7 p.m.
Can I have a second?
I'll second that, Colleen Thompson.
Thank you. Can I have a vote? Oh, any discussion? Okay, can I have a vote?
And Hughes, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Jolie
Price Gibson, aye.
Tina Carlson, I. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate that. I'm not sure if I will actually get to this, but I would like to say something about the bylaws. I am going to present something to the Planning Commission this next meeting, and I promise that I will have it in writing well before to consider. Just taking on the bylaws that we have gone over so far and saying, okay, we will agree to these bylaws as our first step in doing bylaws. The reason I'd like to do this is because I think it's the way they're written right now. It's helpful to the community. It's, and I have been using the hearing ones so far already, which I have been helpful to me. So I will be presenting that at the next meeting for the Planning Commission to make a decision on that going forward. Those bylaws are easily changed. The town council is actually in the process of having an agenda on their bylaws on their agenda in September. And I think it would be helpful even to them if we had something in place that we're trying to work with. So you guys can consider that when we meet again, or when you get that information and we can talk about it.
Voting on that in July?
Well, or voting on it or deciding to vote on it in August. I there might be something that will slow it down, but I just want to start to get that going. I will put in what I understand we've already thought was appropriate and eliminate those things that we were, I mean, they're obviously going to be, anyway, I'll give a presentation on that, which will be in writing ahead of the meeting. I'm sorry, did I hear anything?
Is this upcoming business?
Pardon? Yes, this would be an upcoming business, but that's
for your report. I see.
Okay. I said it. Sorry. As my report. Anyway, so I need to ask if there's any public comments. And I can't see anything, so someone's going to have to.
I publicly apologize for messing up the Zoom link. That was entirely my fault. I apologize.
Oh, I'm sorry, Peg.
No, well, I'm really sorry.
You do so well. It's, you know, things happen.
I think I must have picked up the link from the special meeting or something like that. I don't know, because it definitely proliferated. I mean, I'm bored. It went everywhere. Other than tonight when we started the meeting, I got it changed on the website, but that was way too late for most people to hear it. I apologize.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I make a quick remark before we do the public comments, Tina?
Sure.
Okay, I'd like to clarify, since we've now discussed this thing with Rachel, let me clarify exactly what happened and put it in the context, and I think it'll make sense to people. So I've been having a number of conversations since the first time that Rachel proposed Full Moon Farm to see if we could help her find ways to do something that doesn't involve chopping up that wonderful property. In a recent phone call with her, the discussion came to be, what would you want to do with your property? And I actually suggested, I said, why don't you propose to the town what you want to do with the property and challenge us to say, is that something we think really is appropriate for Boulder and whether it fits our ordinances? So this was really a follow-up from long ago when the conceptual discussion on Full Moon Farms, which I told people I would be working with Rachel to see if we could make some progress on that. Okay, so then I shared that with Lee and Ellis, that I said, well, you know, we have, you know, she said she is going to come up with what she wants to do with her land and we'll see if it meets the ordinances. And it was Lee's suggestion that he said, I would be willing as the town's consultant to work with someone like in a situation like this to see what would need to be done to make it fit in with our ordinances, or if we have just contradictions in the ordinances, how it could be resolved. So that's how it got to exact. So what we then had was the first step that Rachel sent to April. Okay, here's what I'd like to do with my property. And she's throwing out the challenge to us to say, are you going to allow me to do that? Or are you going to just see me chop the, you know, do something else with the land because that's what my ordinances allow? If she had six lots, mm-hmm. she could have people capping on each lot.
So this is an alternative to
dividing? I've asked her to say to the town, what would you like to do with your property?
Yeah.
Because remember, she had proposed cutting that property up into six lots, which would have given her a different type of flexibility for some. But this is all beside the point. So I think let's let her work with Lee, and we'll come back to how.
But
But that information could have been useful to me because
I didn't know she was going to send you an email so soon after the phone call.
Yeah. So kind of being informed of knowing what's being said and what's
I do disclose my ex parte conversations, but this is trying to facilitate getting landowners, the housing providers, the property owners to do things good for the land is the ultimate goal of all of this. So that's how we got to where we are. I hope that has clarified it.
Thank you, John. Okay. So we don't have any public comments, is that correct?
No.
Okay. So the upcoming business, this would be after our meeting. Peg, do you want to lead this or do you want us to go ahead?
You guys go ahead.
Okay. So obviously there will, Elena, do you think you will have some kind of summary together by then?
Or do you want? July 11th meeting?
I'm sorry?
By the July 11th meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's doable.
Okay, so let's just put you on the agenda for that. Elena, on the summary.
Well, even if you just
started the conversation, yeah, I think that's good. Okay, so then I have my spiel on the bylaws. Rachel's thing will
don't worry. I mean, like, let's not put that on the agenda yet because.
Okay.
What about Donna's? You think she'll have anything at all?
I mean,
it's possible.
I can't imagine she would. No. Not for preliminary applications.
I don't imagine she'll get her.
No, she may come back for another time.
That's, I mean, you have to have your septic, you have to have water. That's. No, there's no way to be.
How about the wind subdivision?
I haven't heard anything about the wind subdivision. So.
You know.
But you probably went the training on Shelly.
Right. Oh yeah, Shelly's. I'm sorry, Shelly. I'll get. So Shelly, to put you on the agenda, what is your subject? Is talking about training, correct?
I gave that in you in an email. That's all it was. I started in April. Yeah.
April, okay, I'll go back through your email. Okay, I'll figure out how I'm going to but you will be on the agenda, Shelly, for the next meeting on the 11th. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and I haven't heard of any other applications of something coming in, so I'm not expecting. Not to say they're not going to come in the next, Shelly. 2 weeks maybe before the 10 days. So
I think the biggest one for our July meeting is going to be to recap what happened at the public forum and then start doing it a structured plan of step by step how are we going to move from our that input toward ordinance changes. So that'll be a big discussion item and fairly time consuming. And kind of related to bylaws, I think one thing we need to really consider when we approve a bylaw is to be on the agenda for July, you almost need to have stuff to April now to give her time to review it before the 10-day notice. So, you know, one of the things we should talk about when we talk about the bylaws is just the calendar for submitting applications. Because people shouldn't be submitting something 11 days before the meeting and saying
they don't. We've stated it was, I believe, 15 days. That way I have a few
working days. You,
or no, that was never discussed. I don't think.
No, it was discussed.
It was discussed.
No, we did. We approved working days.
And the bylaws did not say working days.
No, I know it's not in the bylaws. We discussed it in the.
Yeah.
So I'll work. Okay, let's. Okay. I will work with April and on her suggestions on the bylaws to be presented at the meeting. And this is not necessarily we're going to vote on them. It's not requiring you at all to vote on them. It's just I want to have something for you guys to say yes or no on going forward with this. I think we've done so much work on it. I just want it to be resolved so we can go ahead and have bylaws and then know that once we get everything else, you know, figured out, we'll know what we need to add to them. Or how we want to fix them. That's
yeah, and bylaws are working documents, so they can be changed.
Yeah.
So it's not, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just to clarify, the bylaws are about the operations of the Planning Commission.
Right.
Something like when applicants have to put in proposals is an administrative process that isn't a bylaw.
That's
it's not a Planning Commission bylaw.
Yeah, I think it was put in for bylaws, so it makes it clearer for applicants, and it just shows what the planning's role, what's, you know, zoning and other things. And so that was the reason why things were put in there. But you guys can have that discussion next month.
Right. Okay.
Is it appropriate to ask if there's an update on your position, April?
To my knowledge, no one's applied, so.
There is an update on the whole, the town council basically decided to just, I don't know what they decided, frankly. I think they did not make a decision on either my position or April's, and they kind of wanted to go back and revisit definition of what the roles are and if they want to combine roles, or I don't know when this is ever going to be posted. You know, I'm kind of...
But meanwhile, April wants to leave, right?
I mean, I've agreed to stay on until they find
that's good to know.
Appropriate candidate, but yeah.
Right.
When they find someone, there'll be some amount of training time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else to add to our agenda for next meeting?
I can't think of it. I was just taking notes since I couldn't get on my PC.
Sorry.
No, that's just.
You need to send me the stuff.
I know. Okay. That's all I had available. My memory bank.
I think that's all I have.
Okay. Well, we have lots of work to do within the next week. Please reach out if you're have any questions or need to have some help in getting what you understand you need to get done. And, you know, as long as we, you know, just double up, that's fine. It's just a matter of not doing anything sort of policy changing or behind the scenes thing. And all of this work is just for the forum. And I think it can be discussed as a structural thing that we're doing and not as something that's going to affect the community necessarily as, you know, as far as any decisions we're making. So I think we can help each other is what I'm saying. Can I have a motion to close the meeting?
Can I ask a question really quick, Tina?
Yeah, sure.
Just to clarify. So I'm going to be forwarding out the list thing that you send me of the organization, the topics.
Right.
And I'll be sending that to everybody. And
actually, Elena will be sending that to you.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at Elena. So,
okay.
Yes, I'm at Elena. Yeah. Yes. So she's going to send it to me. I'm going to forward it to everybody, including Lee. Is that correct?
Correct. And Lee. And, yeah. The whole list.
We just forward it to everyone so that I'm not needed.
Okay.
Right. Does that work?
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. And then Lee has it right away.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm going to write it right now.
Okay.
Lucky for you. Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Can I
I'd like to make a motion that we close the meeting, the Boulder Planning Commission meeting.
Can I have a second?
Did you hear that, Tina? There was a second, Tina.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay. All those in favor?
Colleen Thompson, aye.
John Brandt, aye.
Kennedy Hughes, aye.
Shelley Price Gibson, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye. Thank you, everyone. Looking forward to seeing you in person.